Today we continue the second week of what we're calling the Intentional Discipleship Triduum. Triduum means 3 days. But before I get started, let me just say a couple of housekeeping things. First of all, I'm getting over a cold, and it has had me down all week. So I'm notifying the communion ministers that I have decided against my better judgment not to give communion. I was wanting to share what I have with all of you, but I am not going to do it. So we need to add one communion minister to the list. And then the second thing is, if you see me, I have a cough drop, but if you see me doing that, it's just that I can't help it. Last week, gosh, it was horrible last week. I was starting the cold, and I didn't know. I thought it was allergies. But, oh, man, I got a coughing. I got this little tickle in my throat in the middle of Mass, and I couldn't stop. No, some people thought I was dying or something. Anyway, I'm not. Okay. You know, I really love being a priest. I've been a priest now. This is my 41st year of being a priest. And I really enjoy it. But one of the things that I most enjoy is preaching. I love teaching and I love preaching. And part of the process of preaching a homily is the priest or the deacon has to look at the readings and what's going on in the feast day, you know, like today is Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit. And then you look at the readings and you look at the overall structure of the Mass and try to see what the message, the overall message that is trying to send. But then the other part that you have to do is you have to see what's going on in the life of the community. Because you can't be preaching one thing and way out here and something else is totally going on in the community. And making those connections, making the connections of how does what we celebrate on Sunday enlighten or give light to what's going on in the rest of life. And this week was particularly, and then on top of that is you got to bring in the meaning of what you're, you know, the theme of the liturgy, which is intentional discipleship. And this week, I felt like I was being bombarded as I was trying to prepare, and thinking through, because I think through the remarks that I'm about to say. I still remember in graduate school, I had a professor who used to say, it is a mortal sin to bore people with the gospel. And I agree with that. I think it's a mortal sin to bore. So I try not to bore you with the gospel. But the readings and the feast is the feast of the giving of the Holy Spirit. But look at what has happened in this last week. I mean, the biggest thing that I think impacted us here, especially in South Texas, is the school shooting in Santa Fe, where 10 young people, 10 and teachers, 2 teachers and 8 young people were killed by a young man. And then the other thing in the other side of the spectrum was the royal wedding. Well, and it was, I mean, I'm not a particular fan of that, but I had a crush on Meghan Merkel. Hey, I may be a priest and I may be old, but I ain't dead. Anyway. Those two things were kind of in the air. And then there's Pentecost, and then there's intentional discipleship. And then the question is, well, does this even tie together? And the answer is yes. Because in life, there isn't anything ultimately, because life is one. And there isn't anything that is ultimately totally disconnected from everything else. So what I want to share with you is why being, I don't know where to start it from which side, but why being an intentional disciple of Jesus. And notice what, if you haven't been here before, and, you know, because we may have some people here to celebrate the baptism, and we use the word intentional disciple quite a bit. And it's, the comparison is always between intentional disciple and cultural Catholic. You know, a cultural Catholic just kind of goes to Mass because that's what they do and you never think about it. But an intentional disciple is when you, over time or pretty quick, it depends, make a decision to be a student of Jesus. Now notice I use the word student I instead of the word disciple, because a disciple is a student. And with Jesus, we are studying how to be a human being the way Jesus taught us to do that. And so the question is, the first question that presented itself to me is, how do you understand the shooting? And not only this shooting, but the shootings that have occurred all throughout the country. We're constantly having these things happen. Now, you can understand it from a close-up point of view. Okay? I always found helpful, I don't remember where I got this idea, it's a business book of some kind, where you look at things from, say, 10 feet off the ground, and then you go up to 100 feet off the ground, and it looks different because you see it in more context. And then you go 1,000 feet off the ground and you see even better the context. And you go, you know, 20, 30,000 feet off the ground and you can see, really see the context. Now, you can see the shooting and the killing, not just Santa Fe, but all of them. And you can see it from a really close up and you can say, the guy's crazy. Guy's crazy. Well, he may be. He may be crazy. Certainly is not thinking like a healthy human being. But what does that word mean, really? Because when you interview him, and when I've seen him in, you know, just on TV and stuff like that, doesn't sound crazy. He sounds like he's in touch with reality. But something's wrong. And so from my perspective, I tend to keep on moving back and up so I can get a broader view. And I have, of course, I am a student of religion. Okay, I spend my life trying to figure out, my passion is, of course, being a disciple of Jesus. But my, outside of that, my passion is to study not just Christianity, but what is religion in and of itself? What is it? And of course, the word religion is, and as many of you know, I love etymology, the study of the development of words. And religion is composed of two words, re. Anytime you use the word, the prefix re, it means do it again. Like re-clean, repaint, anything like that. It always means do it again. Legion is a derivative of the word ligar or ligare, which means to connect, to bind together. In Spanish, the word liga is the word for rubber band. And league is a group of people. And so religion is to reconnect. So the question is, well, what is it that we're reconnecting? And ultimately, what human beings are reconnecting to is the meaning of life itself. Why is it that something is wrong and something is right? Because there's a group of people that say, look, there is no meaning to life itself. It's all what you decide it's going to be. And so if you think something is right, well, it's right for you. And it's not right for another person who doesn't think that. That's what's called moral relativism. Moral relativism is when there's no objective right or wrong. But the reconnection that is occurring, why does it have to be a reconnection? Notice, it's not just connection, it's a reconnection. And the reason it's a reconnection is, and this is where I'm going to slip into the Christian answer. There's different answers. Atheism has one answer, and Buddhism and Hinduism, all these religions have different answers. But it's the disconnect between the human being and the answer to the question, why? Why? Now, notice, this is not a question about how or what. Science answers how or what. You know, for example, science, engineering, or anything like that, any science, well, they can build you a car that can take you anywhere. But it can't tell you where to go. And the question of why you should go there, it can tell you how to get there, and it can build a machine to get you there, but it can't tell you why. Or a rocket. A rocket, you know, can take you up into space. But the question is why? And if you begin to ask that question, you're going to see that every human being can't, human beings cannot stand to be doing stuff that's totally meaningless. We can't stand it. You know, you can do almost anything as long as you understand why. Why am I doing this? The meaning of it. See, theologically, and this is I'm connecting to the insights given to us in the Christian understanding of reality. In the Christian understanding of reality, God, and I want you to remember, God is a three-letter word. It's dog spelt backwards. Okay? What I mean by that is God is just a word. It refers to a reality that is beyond us. A reality that we do not understand. And the reality is an infinitely comprehensible reality that is beyond us. And we sense that we have been created and that we are in some way, we're supposed to be connected to that reality and have become, and this is where the Catholic Church comes in and says, what we have been is we've become disconnected from the reality. Now, in the Christian tradition, the reality in the Gospel of John is called the Logos. And some of you who have heard me before have heard me pound on this, because to me it opens up so much. The word Logos in Greek, it's translated word. So in the Gospel of John, for example, John will say to you, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Logos. In the beginning was the Logos. But the translation of the word word is not meant as a single word. It's meant to be understood in a broad sense. Like, let me give you an example. If somebody were to say to you, hey, what's the word on what's going on at St. Cyril's? Well, they're not asking you for one word. They're asking you for the meaning, the purpose, the background, the reality of what's going on at St. Cyril's. And so my favorite three synonyms for logos is meaning, purpose, and reason. Meaning, purpose, and reason. Now, if you take the Gospel of John and you retranslate the beginning of the Gospel of John, you get this. Instead of, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, you get, in the beginning there was meaning, purpose, and reason. Meaning, purpose, and reason was with God. Meaning, purpose, and reason was God. Meaning, purpose, and reason became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So, notice what we're saying. The human being, if we are made in the image and likeness of God, it means that we are meant to be connected to meaning, which is why every time you have to do something that is meaningless, you go out of your mind. This is meaningless work. It's a meaningless existing. Put the word meaningless in anything, and you'll see people go, oh, what the heck am I doing this for? Because we're hardwired to need meaning. Now, religion is to reconnect with the original meaning of your life. That is, when we disconnected from God, that's the teaching of the Catholic Church on original sin. You know, Adam and Eve, which is a story. It's not meant to be taken historically. So the story is telling you that somehow we got disconnected from the reality that gave meaning to our lives, and that we have to reconnect to that reality. And we spend a lot of our time trying to insert meaning, because without meaning, we can't live. And so there are people who spend their lives just trying as hard as they can to insert meaning. I was listening to, and you'll have to forgive me, I'm not a sports fan. And the swimmer who won all kinds of Olympics, is Bruce Jenner? No, what's his name? Michael Phelps. I don't know. Okay. Bruce Jenner is the guy who became a girl, right? Okay. Okay, Michael Phelps. He was the swimmer, right? Okay. I heard on the radio that he had to go into therapy, because after the Olympics, and he won all the medals, he went into a deep, deep depression. And when he was asked, he said, I've spent my entire existence training for the gold medal, and now I don't feel like I have any purpose. I have no meaning. Now notice. And he was considering committing suicide because he felt empty. Now notice what happens when you withdraw. He evidently put the entire meaning of his life into winning these medals, and now that it was withdrawn, he had nothing. I saw it. Another one is in my own mother. My mother spent her time raising her kids, and boy, did I ever see empty nest syndrome when we left, because the meaning of her life was gone. And you can see it when men or women retire, when all kinds of things happen. When you withdraw the meaning of a person's life, they go bonkers. Bonkers. Unless they can reconnect to something else that gives meaning to their lives. Now, What does this have to do with Pentecost? Well, let me get there. You see, Pentecost is God sending his Holy Spirit to reconnect us. Jesus, of course, was meant to reconnect us to the meaning, the original meaning of our lives. Being a disciple of Jesus is saying, I want to reconnect with the way God intended me to be. That's what the meaning of being a Catholic is. And the distinction between a cultural Catholic and an intentional disciple is when you're a cultural Catholic, you're just kind of doing it. Whatever. Let's go to Mass and get it done. Oh, God, it's Father Mario. Long homily. You know, and stuff like that. So, the meaning of being a disciple of Jesus is to reconnect with the original meaning of your life. Now, let me get to the killer. Did you hear what he was wearing when he killed people? He was wearing a t-shirt that said, "Born to kill." Born to kill. Now, you might take that as just a t-shirt, but he wore it because it was saying something about the meaning of his life. Now, I want you to reflect on that for a second. The meaning of his life had become so disconnected, and to live a meaningless life was so unthinkable that he decided that cannibalizing the human beings, in other words, killing them, consuming them with his gun, was better than emptiness. It was better than emptiness. That's what happens when you become totally detached from meaning and have no hope of reconnecting with meaning. Or your meaning, the provisional meaning like swimming or raising your family, goes away. All these provisional meanings that we put there to give ourselves a sense of meaning ultimately will go away because they're transitional. They can't fulfill the central meaning of your life. And so when these things go away, or if they were never there, you gotta grab for something. And when you find nothing that you can believe in, then death itself becomes the meaning of your life. And he began to plan this act. And all of a sudden, this act gave a sense of purpose. Dark, but it was the purpose of his life. Born to kill. Now, I'm using him because that is, to me, the 10,000-foot diagnosis of what's going on with not just Houston and in whatever, United States, Western civilization and much of Eastern civilization. What's going on? We're disconnected. And most of us try and find little scraps of meaning, you know, by being popular or by making lots of money or, you know, stuff like that. But ultimately, everything you're going to try fails because it can't be permanent, because you were meant to be connected to God. And the moment you're connected to God, and you get disconnected and you try to fill all the soul with all kinds of stuff that you're trying to get into, it's like a temporary anesthesia. It numbs the pain for a while, but ultimately it returns. And sometimes people can't even do that. And so they choose a dark meaning for their lives. Born to kill. Now, let me ask you this question. Just think about it. If you had to wear a t-shirt and it had to say born to, what would you insert there? Born to. It's not as easy as you think. Born to, you know, born to be beautiful, you know, born to be happy. I get that all the time. Yeah, good luck. Give it a shot. Give it a shot, Buster. Notice what born to means. I need meaning in my life. I need meaning in my life. You have to answer that question. You have to answer that question. What are you born to do? Because you cannot exist without the meaning of your life. Now, you maybe have a temporary meaning. I am born to finish college. I am born to get a great job and have lots of babies and have a middle-class existence. I am born to have romance. Good. But just know it's temporary. It's not going to keep you the long run. Ultimately, St. Augustine said it. St. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts cannot rest until they rest in you. Because you were meant to be connected to meaning. You were meant, because you are disconnected from God, Jesus came to connect you to the meaning of your life. You have to be in some way or another. You gotta figure it out. I can't figure it out for you. You gotta figure out how are you gonna connect to Logos, to how you're gonna connect to the ultimate meaning of your life. That's what's called intentional discipleship. That's, you know, people who are cultural Catholics, and all of us are at some time or another, and sometimes even part of our lives are cultural. Ultimately, you gotta connect in some way or another. And what's happening today is the sending of the Holy Spirit. To do what? To reconnect you to your relationship with God. To reconnect you to a community. It doesn't happen all of a sudden, but you gotta do it at some time, in some way or another. It's gotta happen. You gotta find ultimate meaning. What is your life for? You know, I was thinking about the royal wedding, and I was thinking, what does royalty do? What do they do? And I looked up mission of the royal family. On the computer. And what they do is they represent the England, but then a heavy amount of their work is doing good. The meaning of being a royal is not just to stand her up and being, I'm a princess, you know. The meaning of being a royal is you're expected to go around using the spirit of the royal family to boost good. That's how they find meaning. Notice its relationship to God. God is love. And once you begin to do that, you are love, and you begin to spread love, and that has to be the meaning of your life. So, whatever you're doing, whatever your life is all about, you gotta connect to that. In one way or another, you gotta connect to making the world better, to being connected to God, because Augustine was right. You're gonna get all kinds of things that you're gonna connect to, but until you connect with Him, you're not gonna rest. You're not. And when you connect, then you get to the point of being fruitful. Making sure that the Spirit in your life bears fruit. I am a firm believer that at the end of your life, my life, you're going to stand in front of God. And the main question is, so what's the world, how is the world different for the better because you sucked air in it? Why is the world better because you were there? I don't know. Each person got to find it. And I always think of St. Paul, because St. Paul said, each one of us works out our own salvation in fear and in trembling. You can't blame anybody. You got to work this out yourself between you and God. And for us as Christians, the only way we work it out is by doing good as intentional students of Jesus. That's our job. It's not about going to church. It's about becoming the kind of men and women we're supposed to be by studying Jesus. That's what this is all about.